This is the best product launch I've seen in years. If you visit their homepage, their entire Above the Fold is dedicated to Danielle and the drop. In today's episode, you're going to learn the right way to do a drop.
They are leaning into everything that will build affinity with a smaller audience.
How acquiring customers is more about psychology than pricing.
So here's how you're going to script a video that drives millions of views every time on TikTok.
The ad funnel eight-figure brands like Magic Mind are using.
These brands are on track to do $50 million a year on TikTok Shop with zero marketing.
And why you should launch your brand before you launch your product. So before they ever launched the product, they were educating the market on what product was needed and why.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
All right.
Let's get into it.
Welcome to another episode of Sweat Equity. It's been a minute since you and I recorded a solo episode, so it's good to do this. We got a lot of heat in the chamber. So the first thing I'm going to be talking about is we've been talking a lot about the death of the signature shoe. I'm talking about the revival. There's a brand in the CrossFit space that's doing it right. We talked about them briefly when we talked to Matt Halfhill, but they just nailed this launch. I'm going to talk about that. And then there's really three things about the launch that other people could take and replicate, essentially duplicate it and leverage it for their own drops. The next thing I'm going to be talking about is Magic Mind. Essentially, it's a productivity drink. They're positioning themselves separately as not a coffee alternative like Mudwater. They've nailed the positioning there. They're an eight-figure brand. They're crushing it. I'm going to talk about how they launched a brand before the product, how they became first in a category by creating a category, and then their funnels. Their funnels are 10 out of 10. That's what I got. I know you got some heat. What is it?
Yeah, so something that a lot of people have been asking me recently is what is the TikTok Shop growth playbook? This is something I'm doing for a lot of different eight-figure, nine-figure brands right now as part of my day-to-day business, and figured what better way to reward the Sweat Equity audience than just literally telling everyone what we do and charge $10,000 to $20,000 a month for to these brands for free. So I'm going to give you every single thing you need to know about how to create your own content, how to test different formats, what some scripting frameworks are that are proven to work, where to find inspiration, and how to generate thousands and thousands of pieces of content via affiliate marketing. So but dude, I'm excited to talk about Rad. I mean, so I got a confession.
Damn, you already told them you gave away the brand. I didn't say what brand it was yet.
Oh shit. Well, I'm excited to talk about that only
the rad content that I was about to talk about.
There's so many sick CrossFit brands. I'm sure they couldn't guess.
Yeah.
It. but yeah, I'm excited to talk about that. I do have a confession. So my car got towed the other day and my basketball shoes were in the trunk. And I had a hoop session with the boys that night. So, you know, I want to treat myself. I went to the mall, got a signature athlete sneaker. I got the Ja Morants.
Nice.
I got to take it back, dude. They're kind of fire. They actually...
I don't remember what they look like.
Yeah. They kind of look like, you know, Kmart shoes. They look like they might be made of styrofoam.
Have you ever shopped at a Kmart?
No, dude. I'm not that old.
What do you mean? There was a Kmart down the street from my house. We would always walk there.
I probably hit a Kmart once or twice before I was conscious. No, straight up. Like, you know how whenever you're like six, it's like you don't really know what's going on.
All right. So what I'm gonna do is hit a segment. Charles, you gotta chill with all the fucking laughter in the background.
Come on,
bro.
Let's go.
All right. So I'm gonna talk about Rad now. It's a shorter segment than you do TikTok Shop. Then I'll get into Magic Mind.
Okay, dope.
The chunk of it's going to be your TikTok Shop bit.
Yeah.
Also, unless you want to talk about it later, what's your rebrand? What's the new company? What's the name of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the longest time, my freelancing business growth marketing stuff has been called Rectify.
Yeah.
And the concept was we would fix what was broken in a brand's marketing funnel. Yeah. The thing I've realized over the last like 3-4 years of working in my own business is riches are in the niches. For real. Like you have to be a specialist at something. You have to be an expert at something. And over time, it seems as if everything I do gravitates towards short form brand content. So we're actually going to be rebranding to Nibble. Nibble Studios.
Not Nipple people.
Yeah. Nibble. N-I-B-B-L-E. And that's tasty bite-sized content. So that's going to be our little headline.
Is that why you're, because this is the brand colors, isn't it? What you're wearing right now?
We're talking about green. Well, this is kind of the old Rectify colors. I'm going like a little more playful, silly with the new Nibble stuff.
Nice.
Broad appeal.
Nice.
But yeah, so that being said, dude, I'd love to hear more about this launch.
Yep. So we've talked about Rad Global before. One of their signature athletes is Danielle Brandon, and she's not like other CrossFitters in the CrossFit space. She's more of a badass. She's more hot-headed. She's like kind of goes against the grain when it comes to CrossFitters, because a lot of the CrossFitters are, you know, when they get interviewed, they're the type of people to be like, I'm just happy to be here. Yeah. And like Danielle's like, fuck this. Like I perform terribly.
Right.
Kind of person. Like she has an edge to her.
She's not just an accountant that's like moonlighting with their passion.
Not project. At all. And a lot of the CrossFit brands, I'm sorry if somebody from Noble listens to this, they're kind of cookie cutter-ish as well. Like TYR, I think, is another one in Noble. They're all kind of cookie cutter. Then Rad Global came along and they're kind of edgy as well. And so when they were launching, they went to Danielle and they were like, look, if we don't launch with you and you don't become one of our athletes, we're not going to launch with anyone. Like, we want you on our team. Mm. So they formed this partnership, and to date, it's been probably the best thing for Rad Global. So up until last week, they had done one launch with Danielle. Danielle's custom shoes sold out in minutes. You could buy, like, they resell them. That's the only way you can buy them. And a lot of their shoes, like, they do drops or limited drops. But last week they did the second drop with Danielle.
Yeah.
And what they did with this launch was like just noteworthy, note-taking worthy. And there were three things about this launch that really anybody listening should take note of. The first one is everything is on brand with Danielle and Rad Global. The second thing is they launch brand products and core products. And I'll explain what that means in a second. The third is their content strategy. So let me get into it piece by piece. So the first one, everything is on brand with Danielle and Rad Global. So if you visit their homepage, their entire above the fold is dedicated to Danielle and the drop. When Nike does a drop, that doesn't happen. And it should happen. It should, if they're dropping Jaw shoe, it should be all about Jaw.
Yeah, the takeover.
Yeah. For that week, it should be all about Jaw, a lot of the content, a lot of the website dedicated to that shoe. So one, they crush it there. The second thing is you click through to the catalog page and it's very on brand. It shows their dedication to Danielle. When I say on brand, it's like it's these neon colors. It's like an image from a documentary that they made, which I'll touch on more. Like even just the headline above is like Danielle Brandon Energy, right? They took the BDE and they transformed it to DBE. Mm. Like they did all these things with Danielle, and like you just see how much intention there is with the landing pages and the text and the colors and the background. Like everything, there's just so much intention to it. So that's the first part about the like just how they nailed the branding, because it even goes along with things that they did with brand products and core products. So the first thing is, what are core products? These are the products, and this is the most obvious, that drive significant amount of revenue. For Rad, it's the signature shoe and it's the apparel. So what are the brand products? Brand products are products that you make for the diehard consumer, the diehard fan, the people that just want more of Danielle. They want more of Rad. It's things that you're not making money off them. You're just selling them because you want people that are fans of Danielle want them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the people that buy them. So if you look at the things that they launched for this, like they launched like those little dice that you hang in your car and that are like pink and just kind of pink and gold, which is very Danielle. The same thing, they made a poster for the documentary. These are things that they're not going to drive. You're not going to show a button. Like it's not going to drive significant revenue for Rad. It's totally just a brand move. So I love this correlation of, okay, we have our core products, but we have brand products. These are the things that are making the launch just a little better than a typical launch. The next thing is their content strategy. So their content strategy was executed perfectly. There's five pieces of content that they put on their Instagram that I thought was just phenomenal. The way, the cadence of which they did it and how they led up to the drop of the shoe and, again, a documentary. So the first thing was they teased the doc with a poster, very similar to a movie. It almost told you, hey, a movie's coming. Like, we got something big coming, not just a little IG reel, not just a little nibble.
Yeah.
That wasn't a shot. I'm just I'm kidding.
No, that was fire.
they basically told you, look, we got a big piece of content coming. So the next day, then they promo essentially the trailer for like the quote unquote movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then the third day, they gave a sneak peek then the next day, they gave a sneak peek. They took an actual clip from the doc. They released it. Now they're starting to pique interest.
Right.
The fourth thing they did was they kept building up the hype and they just shared another little sneak peek into the doc. Right. One part was interview based. The next was like a little more action based. But the thing is, they're keeping that momentum going. They got that hype. That train's going. They're continuing again that hype train going. Then they release the doc and promote it with the intro scene from the doc. A lot of times in movies, what they'll say is the opening scene is the most important scene. So when you look at, I think it's Batman, the Joker movie, one of the two, it begins with like the Joker standing there holding a head or like a suitcase or something like that. And something blows up. Like that is the opening scene. And you're just like, what am I looking at? What, like,
yeah,
from the beginning, it hooks you in. They did this with their promo piece to say that the doc was released. They started with the intro scene, which again was just like a shot that it's like Danielle over the car, looking in the trunk, and it's like, what am I looking at? It was super good.
Yeah.
And the other thing was all of this was collab content, right? So that means it's shown up on Danielle's page, shown up on Rad's page. They're getting both audiences to become aware of this. But here's what I really liked. The doc went live on Wednesday, last Wednesday. They released the shoe on Thursday. Most people would say, hey, we're going to release the doc and the shoe at the same time. I think it's very smart that they released the doc on Wednesday and the shoe on Thursday. Here's why. When The Last Dance came out, more Air Jordan sneakers were sold. Mm. More memorabilia for the Chicago Bulls was sold. Why? We just watched 2-3 episodes because they were releasing an episode at a time. We just watched 45 minutes, an hour of Michael Jordan being great. And therefore, you like have that nostalgia. You have that connection. You're like, damn, I need more Jordan stuff around me.
Yeah.
I think Rad did the same thing. They launched the doc on Wednesday. So they knew, hey, this is probably going to get 50 to 100,000 views. All those people are now going to have this desire of like, when Danielle's launch happens tomorrow, we want in. We want the product.
Right.
And because of that, it crushed. Now the documentary has 316,000 views in 6 days. The craziest part is they only have 8,000 subs. And they've sold out of nearly all of the shoes, all of the apparel, just like a phenomenal launch. And what I've noticed with Rad is they know, like, they've mastered the drop method. Me and Oren talked about the drop method in the last episode, and basically saying like everyone does it the same. It's like, hey, we're going to release limited amounts on this day. You have to enter your email to get notified. And Rad was like, we're going to turn this up a notch. We're releasing a movie. We're promoting it every single day, different ways. Danielle's going to be promoting as well. Then the doc's going to come out. You're going to love every bit of her and it. And then we're going to launch the shoes. Just right. Phenomenal. And the thing I want to stress here is the fact that there was so much intention behind this release. Mm-hmm. There was so much thought going into it. And especially when you're working with an influencer or if you're Nike with a signature athlete, there has to be intention behind everything or else the fans aren't going to feel as bought in as if there was intention behind what you do and why you do it.
Right. Or the athlete. If you remember Jordan Rodgers, ex-Nike marketing director, what was his job to ensure a successful signature product release was to make sure that the athlete themselves was so fired up about the product launch that they were going to do everything they could to promote it. In seeing Danielle's Instagram, I had no idea. She's got a pretty large following, 740,000 followers on IG. And I'm counting, right, how many posts she made about Danielle Brandon energy and this drop. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And she's got 6 posts about this in the last, you know, what is this?
Last week and a half, dude.
And so, you know, that sort of cross promotion, obviously Rad is pretty well known in the space, but they only have 83,000 followers. So they're getting someone with, you know, 10x their following pretty much to post 6 times for their brand. And to your point, why is that? Because this launch is probably something Danielle is extremely proud to be a part of.
Yes.
This personifies everything about her personal brand. It's something that she wants to represent. It's pretty cool. It's an American gladiator, you know, retro nostalgia. I mean, retro futurism again, you know, it just comes in everything. That is what's so hot right now is people want this taste of what the future was supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And she's sitting on top of a Benz, like cool, like baggy clothes, flashy 80s style branding. It's really cool. And I don't even like CrossFit like that, to be honest, but you just have to respect that Rad is so cool. So undeniably, eye-catching that even if you're not a fan of CrossFit, the sport, then you got to respect what they're doing. Back to your Jordan point, that was always the biggest thing that the Jordan brand did is they made basketball shoes cool to wear outside of the sport. And seems Rad's, like Rad is kind of doing that with Rad's clothing.
Rad's done
and
the
CrossFit.
Same thing. Rad's done the same thing where like TYR and Noble, they're strictly performance shoes.
Right.
I would never wear Nobles or TYR. Like, I just don't like the look, but I would definitely not wear them out. I wear Rad's out because it's a shoe that's, it looks good.
Right.
And their brand has nailed the fact that it can be an aesthetically pleasing shoe and a performance shoe.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing to me is, dude, they've only been around for a year and a half, right? Like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And so they've done this at height, like they've hit hyperscale, or they're on the verge of hitting hyperscale in probably 3-4 times faster than Noble.
Right.
I mean, Noble had to go sign Tom Brady to try to like.
Noble's bagged up though.
So I've insider information and it's not what you think.
Really?
It's more of like a, I don't want to, you know.
Well, they got bought. They got bought by the Body Armor guy, Mike Riepel.
When? This is news to me.
Within the last like 18 months. And that's why they were able to bring on Tom. Because he's going to try and turn them into a new consumer brand that's actually run competently. Noble is a relic of the 2010s, which was exactly the opposite of what is something that we like to highlight a lot these days, like Rad. Rad is a very brand-focused marketing play across the board. They are leaning into everything that will build affinity with a smaller audience rather than pouring every dollar they have into customer acquisition on Meta, which is something that I think Noble did back in the day.
They did.
Is every dude in America, not just dudes, I mean, everyone who had any sort of athletic interest in America probably saw a Noble ad from 2016 to 2020. And you probably always thought about it and just didn't pull a trick because they were expensive. And you're not a CrossFitter. Like, I didn't need trainers that were $180.
For sure.
And, you know, that is almost playing with the devil a little bit, because if you don't build those long-term fans, then what happens when everyone's seen your brand and made that decision, yes or no?
Yeah.
You have to continue to innovate on product, but that's really hard.
Super hard. Unless you're the Nikes of the world, the Adidas of the world, it's super hard.
You don't have resources
to innovate
like
on product.
Right. And then that's why you see Noble now trying to venture into football, because... For the longest time, they were made for the endurance athlete or the hybrid athlete that was an adult that took training very seriously. Yeah. Now they're trying to go into football, which Nike is divesting from, actually. Because
I did not know that.
Yeah, Nike's divesting from football, and it makes total sense if you think about it. It's a tiny market.
Yeah,
it's only U.S. boys from 12 to 18. You know,
boys.
No, I mean, seriously, though, like it's not like adults. Like no. Adult male in the U.S., which football is predominantly played by men in the U.S., they're not going to buy football cleats or pads or anything like that. So why would Nike invest resources?
Because this is more of a joke, but there is a whole slew of men that after 18 never decide to hang it up and go semi-pro.
Yeah.
And will play for $75 a game, no insurance. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Crazy.
I haven't gotten
it's like $75
or
$200 a game, no insurance. And
that's OD.
You just risk everything.
Yeah. I mean, I can barely even play pickup basketball with, you know,
Aetna. I haven't played since I played last time with you because, dude, my knee was tweaked for like a whole week or 10 days. Like it ruined everything. Every time I go hoop and we play full court, like I could play some one-on-one games, 3-on-3 games at half court. But anytime you play full court and there's good hoopers and you want to turn up.
Yeah.
My knee is just like tweaked.
Dude, I just want to send a PSA to anyone to go play pickup basketball with entrepreneurs in your area. Like we have this run right now where we'll just add a random guy from Twitter. I'll put out an invite and just say, you know, hey, we're playing at this time. Tag some of the guys that are coming. The other day, a guy that we added about a month ago, I was talking to him for the first time about what he does. And he was early at Figma. Has angel invested in 20 companies and is about to exit his company right now to one of the major sports gambling players. It just blows me away how that level of success is just kind of lurking underneath the surface in a sport is the easiest way to connect with those people and not have to talk. Hey, what do you do? You know, I've met this dude 6 times by now.
Damn.
And we never talked anything but generic hoops. He's a Heat fan. So
let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why he's successful. There's something about these Heat fans that just makes them successful. They're just bound to exit for millions of dollars.
God. Anyways, on to something actually interesting. So let's talk about TikTok. Yeah.
I was going to transition. So I've been drinking out of this thing. This is the one time you're going to see this on the close-up camera. And Brian made a joke about it being like, look, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Like, what is this damn thing? Where is it? The brand name Reduced, never heard of it. What the fuck is it? It looks like I bought it off TikTok Shop. Vanessa bought it for me from HEB, but it looks like a TikTok Shop product.
Yeah.
And basically what's going on now is there's all these brands just blowing up on TikTok Shop, driving, I mean, millions and millions in revenue.
Sure.
There's a playbook for it. Not many people know what it is, how to do it. They've heard about it, but they don't know how to execute. Give them the playbook.
TikTok Shop's a weird platform. It's very new. And due to that, there's a lot of things that you wouldn't that you would expect to be fully fleshed out that aren't. For example, I work with 9 different brands right now. I can't share my email address and log in. Like, you don't have user seats on any of these things. So I have to work with the brand, 2-factor authenticate every time I need to log in. Little stupid shit like that. There's a lot of random nuance that the platform is missing because they maybe feel as though there's regulatory oversight. And so they're trying to be overly buttoned up.
Yeah.
However, what the platform is doing is innovating in social commerce in a way that Meta should be drooling over. And that's primarily in their affiliate program. But the main thing to get those affiliates rolling is a 3-step process. So I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to use the same process for their brand. And again, this is a strategy that we're, you know, charging 5 figures to a month to people to implement for them. But if you're a Sweat Equity listener, this is why you listen to the damn pod.
5-figure discount.
Yeah, you get $10,000 off just for you. So here's what you do. Number one, you're going to have to post every day. And this sounds like a lot. It's not. Ideas are all around you. No matter what product you're selling, you can just TikTok search that and boom, there's a million different videos that you can copy and adjust to your brand, adjust your unique selling propositions, like whatever features and benefits you have that brand doesn't, just swap it in for the same storyline. Ultimately, TikTok is very much a discovery platform. So people on Instagram think about it as the grid. People go to a profile, they kind of binge your content. I'm looking at, you know, what was posted now. And I'm also looking at what was posted 3 weeks ago. Most discovery of a brand on TikTok happens on the For You page. It doesn't even happen on the following tab. So people are largely just kind of seeing new stuff all the time. And they're rarely going to the profile. Most of the following actually happens on the action on the For You page as well. It's a call to action on the For You page. So don't worry about flooding the algorithm.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
So when you're picking content ideas, you have your team picking content ideas, you're going into the search bar, you're searching like a hashtag or a brand or a product, and then looking at those pieces of content and then remaking or remixing them?
Yeah, explicitly. Like, one of my clients is a hair removal device company. Yeah. And so, you know, what do? I Google I TikTok search the exact technical term for the product. We search that. We found a viral series from an influencer where the top video had 400,000 likes, keeps going. It's basically her just documenting her experience with the product.
Yeah.
Within those videos, you see all the key components to a successful piece of content that sells a product. There's addressing objections. There's talking about common, you know, pain points that the product actually solves. There's pitching a desired result. All of these things are present in her video.
Yeah.
What's different about TikTok and this style of content is how authentic it comes off. Mm. Everything she's sharing feels as though she's just doing it for the greater good. Doesn't matter that she's got that affiliate code locked and loaded in her LinkedIn bio. Hell yeah. Come on. Like, and she's just a very talented creator, right? This is a real influencer. And so she knows how to do this stuff. She's very smart. And so that's really the main thing you want to do is every video wants to come off super authentic. It wants to feel unscripted. You're just sharing for everyone's benefit. And you know, you got to hit that one post per day. Also, test different formats. So a few different things to just think about right now is speaking videos are performing very, very well. But there's also faceless content where you're just kind of iPhone POV, looking at the product, looking at it do something that is a demonstration of something that you would like to actually achieve yourself. So a lot of these things will be Filter Baby is one of them that's done really, really well.
Is it just like yapping to the camera kind of thing? Like,
so yapping is one of them if you integrate the product. But what I'm talking about is faceless. So faceless, sorry. Yeah. So this is, you know, imagine you have a water filter and that's the product you're actually trying to sell on TikTok. You don't need to put anyone's face on the video.
Voiceover.
It's just voiceover, or a lot of the time it's just headline text. on the thumbnail. So it'll be, you know, POV, your water is poisoning you,
yeah,
or POV, your water is toxic, and proceed to film someone replacing a filter, taking the old filter out, show how dirty that filter is, put in a new filter, kind of gets the point across, right? So that is a unique medium that people can test out, is faceless POV style. And then another thing really important to note about TikTok Shop is it is a discount focused, deal oriented platform. When you explore a lot of videos that are doing really, really well, almost always the call to action at the end of them is saying, TikTok Shop is having a discount. I found this deal on TikTok Shop, so go act now. And it, you're fooling yourself if you try and not leverage that in your videos. Like, you want to position this as, you could get this on Amazon, but TikTok is actually giving a discount, because they are. That's the whole growth hack TikTok has tried, is they're giving 10 to 30% off up to a certain limit for pretty much any brand that gets on there. The last thing I wanted to say is just a few best practices. So number one, you always want to have a thumbnail headline. And what is that? That's that top, like, just single sentence that just frames what the video is, because the impact that has on retention is unbelievable. No matter what your spoken hook is, if you can get someone on a headline that they're actually going to find interesting, chances are they're going to watch 4 seconds of the video rather than immediately swipe up, which is really the biggest battle that you're having.
Can you give us an example of, like, what you would use as a headline?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this one brand called Kiara Eyewear. Okay. They are a sunglasses company. And what he will do is he'll put a headline up there that will say, the sunglasses that make you look famous. He'll point to the headline, and then it'll just start showing the sunglasses. And maybe he talks about them. He says, he'll tell his founder story. He'll be like, you know, I used to really struggle to buy Ray-Bans. They would always break on me. So I wanted to make someone that were affordable and would just never break. They were made of this material that was a lot more flexible. But the headline thumbnail is the sunglasses that make you famous. An even more contemporary example of what the power is of the text on video is right now, and we'll put this on the YouTube because people have to see this. It's ridiculous. But what's really cool about TikTok Shop is you can see the actual revenue driven from a specific video and from an affiliate. If they opt in to have data sharing, which they usually do, and you can see down to an exact dollar figure what their video is driven. The video, which is the thumbnail we're about to show everyone, is just this lady using a stair stepper, an at-home stair stepper. And it, you know, it says, reminder to all my ladies to get this stepper, because 15 to 30 minutes on this will have your glutes lifted, thighs tight, and snatched. Right. So
I'm about to get this stair stepper.
Yeah, no, seriously, I'm sold. And like, she's not speaking on the camera. She's not saying anything.
So it's just like POV.
It's literally her just using the stepper, and that is the text on the video.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It's one shot, like camera pointing towards her on the stair stepper.
Yes.
POV or whatever, text on there. She's just walking up on it.
Yes.
Probably a 7 to 10 second video.
Correct.
So you know who does a great job at this, but they don't use TikTok Shop, is Ladder.
Right.
Ladder cranks out like 3 to 4 posts like a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like POV, XYZ, CTA. Sends them down the funnel. I won't say all of it because they're going to come on the pod and I'd rather have them talk about it. But there's somebody that's nailed TikTok organic and then funnel it to paid and TikTok Spark ads. But keep going.
Yeah. And if you really break down, it sounds like an absurd thing that she's saying, but it is actually brilliant copywriting. Is she's pitching a desired outcome, which is getting snatched. And she's also addressing your objection to it, which is, I don't have time, or I have to go somewhere else. It's an at-home stair stepper and it takes 15 to 30 minutes a day. This video alone did $500,000 in revenue in the last 7 days. And she doesn't say a word on the whole thing. All she does is just demo the product and talk about the desired outcome that everyone watching it would want to achieve, but also addressing the objection that I don't have time, or I don't want to go to the gym. This is an at-home stair stepper and it only takes 15 to 30 minutes. What's really beautiful about that video is calling out, you know, the specific problem people are facing. And something that might be helpful for our listeners is a script writing framework that we apply to almost every video that we have. So I want to go through this real quick, and then I will talk about it for one of our clients, which is a recovery issue. Shout out Kane Footwear. And this is something that we use for them. And it's definitely works really well. So anyone should try and use this for their own brand. So number one, you're going to start with a hook. Number two, you go into a problem that the person is facing. Three, failed solution. Four, you intro the product. Five, talk about the features. Six, demo the product. Seven, pitch the benefits. Eight, talk about the desired result. Nine, call to action. This is X% off on TikTok
Shop. This is one video, right?
Correct. That'll get you about 45 seconds if you do one sentence for each one of those components.
That was going to be my next question, which is, that's a lot of things to put in one video. What is the duration of each, like one of those segments?
Yeah. I mean, dude, that honestly, that feels like a lot. If you are being efficient with not saying too much, then that'll be around 40 to 45 seconds.
So one sentence for everything.
Correct. Yeah. And if you have more than one sentence, then you did not say what you wanted to say clearly enough. So this is for one of my women creators, and she was talking about how this was going to help her consolidate her gym bag. So that's the problem, is that, you know, gym bags oftentimes get too crowded for all the stuff you want to bring. So hook, packing my gym bag used to be so annoying. I'd bring my workout shoes, slides for the locker room, and then some cute regular Vans to wear after. It felt like there was no room for my other things, so I decided to find a shoe that could consolidate all of them. These are Canes, and then she would hold up the shoe. And yes, I know they look like Crocs got a PhD, trying to be a little bit funny, but bear with me. They have these little notes, and then she would kind of go into talking about, they have these little nodes that make your feet feel good walking around. They have a lot of other colorways. Another thing I love is that people always ask about them, and it's cool to feel unique, like just really talking to your target customer. And then at the end of it, anyways, they're 30% off on TikTok Shop right now. That's where I got them. Not sure how long the sale will last, so go act now.
I like that. There's something to learn from that as well, which is you're using a lot of transition words. Or sorry, there's something to learn from that. Here's a copywriting trick to help you write better scripts. And that's to use transition words, which you were using in that script, or the copywriter was using in that script, where it's like, this used to happen, so I did this.
Right.
Then this happened, so I did this.
Right.
And that's a way you can make this a cohesive story where it feels like every line belongs, because the line before was needed and the line after was needed. And if you can create that, you're now creating a slippery slope where it just feels like naturally you're going to keep going down that slide.
Yeah, 100%. You want people to never want to lose their attention.
Yeah.
That seems obvious, but a lot of the times people do add fluff. And the number one thing when you're writing a script should be reduce all fluff as much as you can. So that's kind of the spiel on content. But unfortunately, here's the thing that a lot of people do not realize about TikTok Shop, especially brands, is it is an affiliate marketing platform through and through. The top five brands on TikTok Shop all are at a $60 million a year run rate, and they drive 98% of their revenue through affiliate marketing. So that's them sending a product to someone who is a TikTok creator, and that creator making however many videos they want about the product. And that's how the product actually sells. So how do you get these affiliates to actually want to push your stuff? Because as I mentioned earlier, GMV, which is, you know, the amount of money that's driven by a brand or a shop, is fully visible to anyone on the platform. If you signed up as a creator, you could see how much revenue any of the stores that I'm working with are doing. And that's the same for any creator. So they obviously don't want to work with creators that are brands that are starting from scratch. They don't want to see $0 of GMV and be like, oh, I can't move this product. They'll move whatever the other thing is that's hot. Yeah. That's how you incentivize them to make more than one video, which is the mandate. If they receive a sample, you send a creator a sample, they have to make one video. That's it. And they could just house your product from there. Damn. Like, so, you know, if someone has a hot viral video and all of a sudden they get all these sample requests from brands, they literally just have to make one video for each brand, and they don't have to keep going.
Damn.
You need creators to make 10 videos for you because you need more at bats. And so you have to run what's called spark ads of your organic content, which are conversion focused, same as Meta, right? You're running an ad to a destination where the end goal is the customer will buy. You want to spark ad your best performing content, which is your organic content, for this reason. Number one, it goes to the shop as the destination, not your website. As far as I can tell with my agency and my agency partners, these are out converting a regular TikTok ad by about 1.5 to 2x right now.
That's huge.
There's
that's
a lower AOV oftentimes, probably indicative of the consumer that's, you know, buying on TikTok Shop. But that is an interesting thing.
Do you think the customer lifetime value would be higher for somebody going through a brand's landing page versus TikTok Shop?
If they are able to effectively run retention stuff like SMS and it just, that's so brand specific.
Does TikTok give you the data on the back end?
So they're building out their own CRM. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that will help. That was a big concern for a lot of big brands is that they wouldn't own the customer, and TikTok's addressing that.
Cool.
But so you want to spark ads to those top performers, because when you run ads to your shop as a destination rather than your .com, there's two benefits. Number one, it'll count towards that GMV that affiliates are able to see. Number two is you're actually able to still take advantage of the subsidies that TikTok Shop is providing. So, you know, if you're giving away 10% for email on your website, TikTok is doing 30% on TikTok Shop. They're providing that discount to you. You actually get paid out your full amount of revenue.
Sick.
Your product's $80. They're giving 10% off, which is $8 off. You're collecting the full 80. You're not collecting the 72. A lot of brands don't realize that when you spark ads your content, you're still getting able to take advantage of that subsidy, which is a crazy hack. And that's why it's probably converting quite a bit more, in addition to, you know, having your card on file, having your address on file. It's just kind of like one press and go. Once you have visible GMV in a lot of units sold, that's when you want to move on affiliate. So that's probably your first like 30 to 60 days is posting a bunch of content and putting some ad dollars behind it to drive meaningful GMV. Next, you're going to want to seed thousands of affiliates. Seriously, thousands. A lot of brands probably kind of tiptoe around this, but if you saw the quality of videos that you might get out of 50 to 100 brand like seeding influencers, then you would understand. You need as many at-bats as possible.
What are you using to seed 1,000 people or get 1,000 affiliates to post content? Because that's a lot. That's a lot of outreach. That's a whole team 100%, to try to hit that volume. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, so on my end, we have it pretty automated with my affiliate team. So our coordinators are just DMing 500 people a day for every brand. And so obviously that adds up to quite a bit at the end of the month. When you DM someone, you basically ask them to request a sample if they fit certain criteria. So that's another cool thing about the platform is you can actually filter by the amount of views that the creator is getting, the amount of units sold that they've had in the last 30 days, and the amount of revenue that they've generated for the brands they work with. So you can basically filter out anyone that is not qualified by whatever criteria you want to set, or you can go super broad and you can give everyone a chance either way. So like for some of our brands, you know, we have a little more premium feel. We're only going to work with creators that have consistently been generating GMV for the last like 6 months. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't make sense, and they want to have high engagement too. So, you know, we'll DM outreach all through the TikTok Shop affiliate platform. And, I just want to reemphasize again, it's absolutely insane how the top five brands on this platform are probably advocating as if, you know, it's an organic content, you flood the algorithm, yada, yada. 98% of the revenue is through affiliates. So they're seeding tens of thousands of people. And the other hack is, remember the Spark Ads thing that we were doing with our own content? Well, when you work with a creator, two things are true. If one of their videos does well, they have a commission rate on that video where they made money on the GMV that they make, that they made you. So if you Spark Ad their content, and you're driving GMV through their content, they still get their affiliate commission. Mm. So for every affiliate, they have full incentives to provide you with usage rights to their content because they're getting their commission. Now, you just...
Whereas in the past, it was you would get the code, you run a TikTok Spark ad, and you're just using their name.
Yeah.
Right, well, in the past?
Well, so in the past, you're using their name.
Their content,
and they're not,
right?
Like,
they're not getting the affiliate deal.
And so they have no incentive. Like if they made a video for you, like why would I give you usage
back
rights?
Then, like it would be like, okay, yes, you can do that, but it's $3,000.
Right.
Now it's like, yeah, of course you could use it because I'm gonna get the affiliate commission.
Exactly. Cool. And so now say you successfully just seeded thousands of affiliates.
Yeah.
You now have this massive bank of content, which does a few things, lets you really quickly visualize creative testing.
Yeah.
What is actually selling your product? What are people who are totally cold to your product saying about it that makes it sell to others? That's an insane growth hack to be able to understand for your meta ad strategy, your copy on your website, So you can really get a lot of insights pretty quickly that way. But also, you might have just unlocked 100 to 200 pieces of creative that are actually usable for your ad account.
That's huge.
And just continue to create this flywheel and network effect where your brand feels everywhere.
And then you're pulling that, putting it into Meta as well.
Yeah, and then you can download the video on watermarks, put it into Meta. It'll probably produce.
Are you ever taking an affiliate that performs really well and scaling it into an actual influencer partnership? I mean, I guess that's not really on your side, but do you think that's good advice for a brand?
It's interesting because influencers are different than TikTok Shop affiliates in a big way. And
in what way?
So right now, TikTok Shop affiliates are kind of like, just imagine like a QVC live salesperson.
Gotcha.
You know, they're just pumping out buy now, buy now, buy now. There's not an affiliation with influencer where it's like that crossover event has not really happened much yet, where influencers at scale who have like millions of followers are producing TikTok Shop content because they're all very protective of their audience.
Yeah.
They don't want to just shill left and right. Yeah. Like, whereas a lot of these shop people that are moving weight, like that's their job.
Their job. Is
they just literally push product
just
all day.
So,
I mean, you could definitely like, but that's kind of the beauty of the commission and the usage rights towards ads is you do create that partnership without any contracts or, you know, big negotiation process. It's just right there and it just happens all automated through the platform. So here's a few tips for how to make this work. So number one, filter what your creators that you're outreach to by GMV, by average engagement. You want to create target collabs with those creators that qualify. When you do create a target collaboration, you want to negotiate that they will do multiple videos. So you can either take that off platform or just incentivize them with a higher commission. And then this is something I think a lot of brands need to institute as well, is like provide them with a brief about do's and don'ts. Like, Some of the clients that I have, like, there's a very nuanced thing that they do need to include so that someone doesn't get the wrong perception. Assume that the wrong perception will happen, you know? And if you don't provide the do's and don'ts, then you're going to get content that's not usable. It doesn't move your product.
I think it's best to let a creator be the creator, but give them a box to play within,
yeah,
which is the do's and don'ts, or a small brief that's just like, if you're going to talk about these benefits, here's how it's worked in the past.
Yeah.
But not like, make this video.
Right.
Let the creator be the creator, but give them some kind of constraint so that they don't go off the rails and sell shit that's just not even, you know, what you're known for.
100%. Yeah. So that's what I got. That's what we're doing for our clients right now, fully managed service. And if anyone found some value out of that, please take it. Let me know. Yeah. And as always, hit the pod email or DM us on Instagram with any questions.
Nibble.com.co.
Nibble.studio.
Studio.
Yeah. But again, I mean, that was free game. You know, that's, I mean, we want that to be a part of whatever people get out of Sweat Equity.
So the next thing I want to talk about is Magic Mind. I've tried these in the past. They work well. Do they taste good? No. I don't know if you've ever tried Magic Mind. I don't think it tastes good. I had like 4 or 5 boxes of it, but when I took it, it worked well. But like, part of my thing is when I wake up, dude, I'm trying to drink like coffee because I like the taste of coffee.
Same.
Or an energy drink because I like the taste of the energy drink. Mm-hmm. And like, that is part of the whole morning ritual. Magic Mind just didn't do that for me, but they've built an amazing brand and they've crushed it. And there's a lot of learnings from what they did and how they position themselves, how they market themselves. So the first thing is they saw crazy revenue growth, 1 million within the first 5 months. Which is crazy for, you know, a little energy shot, right? Like, that is amazing.
Well, they have a tiny AOV too.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it like? Well, I guess they probably bundle
it. No. Their AOV is like $80 or $100.
Oh, because you get a bunch of shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah.
So there's really, let's see, there's kind of 5 learnings that I want to go through that are really interesting and that they do a phenomenal job of. And this is for anybody building a startup, anybody building a brand. There is a lot to learn from Magic Mind. So the first thing is launch the brand before the product. And so what they did was their founder wrote a book. He was an Amazon best-selling author talking about nootropics, talking about that. And so while they were doing research for the brand launch and for the actual product launch, instead of shelving all their findings, they were transforming all of that into content, things like books, podcasts, and newsletters. So before they ever launched the product, they were educating the market on what product was needed and why. And how it's better than coffee, it's better than mud water, it's better than all these other variations. And so by sharing your learnings publicly, they launched the brand before the product ever even had to hit the market. So then the second thing was you become first in a category by creating the category. So Mudwater is the alternative to coffee. There's energy drinks. There's obviously coffee. But Magic Mind positioned itself as the first product that is a drinkable productivity tool. So when you think of productivity tool, you think of Loom, you think of Slack, you think of these things.
Yeah.
They're like in that same category.
Right.
And they've centered everything around productivity. So it's like how, and even their copy is how it can help you get through your to-do list and crush your goals, right?
It's kind of like a cute way to say take Adderall.
Yeah. A clean, healthy version of take Adderall. Even their subscription plan is called a productivity plan, right?
Like, yeah.
And this is, it goes back to like what me and Oren talked about is like, everything has to be intentional. They could just be like the subscription bundle. Instead, they call it the productivity plan.
Yeah.
The third thing is, because they're owning the positioning around productivity, all their testimonials are centered around productivity.
Mm.
And from people that are very productivity. And all from people that are all productivity focused. And specifically people from Silicon Valley, people that have built startups, people that are founders, because that's who their market is. Like,
yeah, like brand avatars, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because even their position on I was looking at their Facebook page. Their Facebook page is like Silicon Valley's XYZ, because they're like, look, we're talking to these people because these people, there's a lot of people that follow them, want to be like them.
Yeah.
If we're their tool, if we're their productivity shop, people are going to follow it.
Right.
So what they did, again, on the testimonial side, all the social proof on their site, all the UGC videos, it's all centered around productivity. Not, I feel great and energized. It's, no, I could get more done. I feel like I could lock in. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in my zone. I feel like I'm just dialed when I take this. And so it just all feeds the value proposition, right? So like, again, what I'm trying to refer to here is you're telling this story, you have this value proposition. And now every bit of copy, everything on the landing page, everything in ads, it has to fuel that story, that narrative, even the stories that other people are telling in reference to your product.
Yeah.
The next thing is they built a lot of optimized funnels. They crush it. They probably run or have 10 to 15 different landing pages. When you look at their kind of ad funnel, top of funnel, they have podcast ads and like they're more education-based. They're more about educating the market. And it's from podcasters that obviously have large reach. So they're casting this wide net, then trying to educate you. But then they take you to educational landing pages. Mm. Think advertorials or just educational based landing pages. A lot of like 3 reasons why, 6 reasons why. And then a lot of education around the ingredients, what's in it, what to expect from it, when is it going to start kicking in, et cetera.
Right.
Middle of funnel on their ads is all UGC and review ads. So if you watch the podcast clip, you're like, you check it out, you're interested. Now you're going to get hit with a UGC ad, a review ad that's now more cementing the value proposition because it's like other people took it, other people tried it, it worked for them. Now this is what it could work for you as well, right? That's the whole point of the UGC and the review ads. But then the landing pages are more centered around an offer, right? You're working somebody from an unaware individual to solution aware and problem aware with these kinds of landing pages. And then the last part that I love is at the bottom of the funnel, they're hitting their bundles because they're trying to increase that AOV. And we'll talk about how they price or how they use psychology in their pricing. But one thing I like is Magic Mind isn't cheap. I think it's like $80 for a 12 pack or a 30 pack. Don't quote me, but it's expensive.
I'm on the site right now. That's correct.
So to get people over the purchase hurdle, they inject 100-day money back, no questions asked, guarantee. So if you're on the fence, it's like, dude, I have 100 days to decide if I like this. I could buy the bundle, hate the first 30 days, and just return it. Like, that's not common. So by putting that, you're almost also saying, like, we believe in our product so much, you're going to love it. You're going to feel the effect and the benefits that you have 100 days to decide if you're going to stick with us or not.
Something I also love, you know, you go to, they have a Learn tab, right? They're really trying to position themselves as a scientific alternative or supplement almost to your existing caffeine intake. And it's so aligned, the productivity boost versus, hey, you like your coffee? That's great. This is not to replace your coffee. We're not mushroom coffee, where we're trying to insert into this part of your daily routine. We're actually 100%. Just trying to join your daily routine and solve this problem that you're thing that you love, coffee, yeah, probably causes you, which is jitters, tea staining, whatever.
Anxiety, like all those.
Yeah. And then tied into the founder story is, man, I mean, this is so
beautiful.
This is great alignment, right? He's not only, to your point, he's an author who has a best-selling book about nootropics. Yep. So there's the subject matter expertise of, I should know about this shit. And he says, after a trip to the ER a decade ago, I was diagnosed with a heart condition. My doctor explained that the two major culprits were too much stress and too much caffeine, yeah, parentheses, and that they were related. So he's being super vulnerable, super, right? This is a high-performing individual who is saying that he went to the ER because of heart issues, because of too much stress and shit. And then he proceeds to say, never occurred to me that, you know, there were compounds that extend the absorption of caffeine and give you a calmness while keeping you alert. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Tell me more. Yeah. Like, I love it when there's compounds that can do something extra for me, yeah, you know, like it's like a new discovery. It feels, yep, scientific. And you know, this is on their learn page, and then they go into the ingredients. It's all tied into the whole thing. Meet the scientific team. Of course there's fucking doctors involved. Yeah. So, I mean, dude, it's really good stuff. That's all really powerful CRO.
The last thing that I'll touch on is how they use psychology in their pricing, because pricing is more about psychology than the pitch. So what I mean by this is, if you go to one of their advertorials, you'll see their bundles. Mm. They use 6 different psychology principles on this, like on this bundle or on this section of the website where they show the bundles to get you to purchase one of 2 products. There's 3 products, but they're trying to get you to purchase one of 2. So the first thing that they do is they use daily price framing. Mm. If the product is $97.50, which it is, and there are 30 bottles of Magic Mind, that comes out to only $3.35 per shot.
Yeah.
So when you compare that to Starbucks that you get every day, or Summer Moon, or whatever coffee shop, you're actually saving money.
Right.
But you have to frame it from the perspective of, well, look at this from a day-to-day perspective, not this one-time big purchase. The second is odd-even pricing. So it's a little more attractive when pricing is odd like this, where it's $97.50.
Yeah.
Not $97.99, not $98, not $99. It's this use of using odd and even numbers to make the price look more attractive to the brain. The third thing is center stage. Your eyes naturally are going to think that the middle option is the best option. So therefore, they put the most popular bundle in the middle. This is called center stage framing.
Yeah.
The fourth is they slash the MSRP. So instead of saying, hey, it's on sale for $59.25, they show you that it was $89.26. Again, a really weird ass price.
Yeah.
It's $89.26. We're slashing that price, showing you $59.25. And the slash is just to show you, look how much you're saving.
Yeah.
Look at the difference because of it. The next is price anchoring. Use price anchoring to basically say, look, this price is super high. And in relation to the other ones, these bundles are a steal.
Yeah.
So the one-time purchase for a 30 pack is $148.50. But if you subscribe, then it's $97.50, right? So that price anchor is making it feel like one and two are the best options, one of the ones that I'm gonna choose. And that goes into the last thing, which is they're using that price anchoring from that last option for the one-time purchase as a decoy effect. The entire job of that bundle is to be a decoy to make you choose between one and two because one is so bad. So just a lot of little things that you can do to increase your conversion rate that, I mean, they just take a little bit of effort and a little bit of intention behind.
Yeah.
It's super interesting, dude. They're so dialed.
There's no wasted space on this. They show what the box looks like. Flow state awaits you is the tagline. Yeah. I mean, there's great copywriting, great branding across the board. $97.50 just feels trustworthy. Feels like you're not ripping, yeah, me off. Like, yeah, like you kind of came to that number because you were like, all right.
You thought about cost. You thought, yeah, about ingredients. Like, you're just like, okay, $97.50. We have to do that to make this margin.
Yeah, like I'm not getting fucked here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. I mean, dude, this is great. I caught your video on IG, and that was just, I immediately sent it to, I have a buddy who's trying to get his brand going in the nootropics world. And I was like, dude, here you fucking go. Like, this is like, go copy everything this brand is doing and instantly watch what it does to your conversion rate.
100%.
Which is a good reason to say, if you like marketing content, especially focused on pricing psychology, copywriting, or just general tips, follow Alex on Instagram at AlexGarcia_ATEX. And that's where you're going to get a lot of that stuff.
Well, that's a wrap on this episode. It was good to do another episode, just you and I.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's been a minute. I know we got more guests lined up and it's always fun. But it is cool. One thing I think that we've been doing well with guests is we don't sit here and grill them about their story. Mm-hmm. We've been sitting there and essentially getting their brain to be the focus of the episode, meaning either A, we're asking them questions that are more centered around what they're known for versus their story. And then, or two, we get them to brainstorm live on the pod, which people have been liking. Also, people really like the fact that like we brought in Lucas and kind of grilled him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's your brand. It's crushing. Here's how it just performs better. Here's what you should be doing. Here's what you're doing now. Here's what you should be doing. So we should do more of that, more free game segments. We should.
Yeah, I mean, and
there's a lot of data there.
Also, y'all tell us. I mean, it sounds like the free games is what a lot of people are getting more value out of. You know, the thing about a free game is it's pretty fucking free, guys. So we do need to, we need to, yeah, just cut that, Charles. I don't have anything to say. But here, let's hit an intro real quick where we're like, welcome to Sweat Equity.
Well, we got to wrap. We haven't wrapped.
Okay. Yeah. Wrap.
So this is the CTA for this video, for this podcast episode. It's and we just need this favor because these pods are expensive. There's fancy cameras here, and our producer Charles, he's wearing Kith shorts and a brand new pair of Jordans, and I wonder how he purchased that. So it's expensive to keep him around as well. So just do us the favor, please help us. Like, subscribe, leave a comment if you want. Please leave a review. We'll pick random people that leave reviews, hit them up, send them hats, a hat like this. But it helps us keep doing this until some brand wants to sponsor the pod and essentially cover the cost that we're now in the hole for. So
yeah,
that's where we're at.
Send it in your group chat too. I mean, if you're getting value out of this, you probably know some other folks that, you know, are in marketing or could also get, you know, some value out of the segments we're doing. And yeah, this is stuff we charge people in our businesses quite a bit of money for. We give it to y'all for free. So that's all we ask. Just share it with whoever you can, leave a review. And definitely hit that subscribe button on YouTube because we're pretty damn close to 1,000 subs, baby.
We're almost there.
It's going to be fun. One day we're going to look back and be like, you remember that grind up to 1,000 subs?
Yeah.
We're fucking hustling, baby.
Dude, the first 1,000 is the hardest. Even yeah. First 1,000 customers, first 1,000
first
subs,
thousand first 1,000 yeah.
followers, it's all the hardest. So.
Nah, I mean, I remember being scared to send $2,500 bills to people. You know, now we're sending 25 bands. Come on now.
What weird flex. Okay. That's a wrap. Thank you.